Welcome to the Medill Sports Podcast, where we take you behind the scenes of the Medill Sports Program. I'm Elon Kane, and today I'm very fortunate to welcome the director of the Medill Sports Program, J.A. Adande. J.A., welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm great, and I guess this is your last podcast for us, for Medill, so
That is right, the series finale.
to be closing down the shop here.
Yeah, we're definitely fortunate to have you on. So, obviously, the big news of the past few weeks is that you decided to leave ESPN and focus mainly on your work at Medill. Can you take us behind the scenes? What was the thought process behind that decision, and what are you looking forward to moving forward at Medill?
It was really the evolution and the realization of the impossibility of being able to do both at once. And when I first took the Medill job last year, I really wasn't ready to say that I used to be on ESPN or I used to do this and that. And also, I wanted the visibility that came with that. I thought it would help the program to still have me out there. Probably the high point came when I did a Warriors game with Mike Breen and Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy on a play-by-play. And it seemed like every time I tossed it back to Mike Breen, he'd make some comment about the Medill program. He called me the professor. And so we had a lot of fun with it. And we got to talk about the program. And that was, you know, a game that probably had over 2.5 million people watching. So it was great exposure, and I craved that. And I just wasn't ready to give all that up, to give up the excitement and the immediacy of being on the court and being on the sidelines during an NBA game, of you know, having the impact of writing something for ESPN.com when I wanted to get my opinion out there. You know, but the reality was, in trying to do this over the course of the year, is that, you know, trying to excel at that and trying to excel at Medill and get the program going, there just wasn't enough time. It was that simple. And time and space difficulties, you know, physics got to me as much as anything, trying to be multiple places at once. It was just too difficult. You know, and I want to have that opportunity to really focus on one thing and to wake up and just obsess over that and drive to that throughout the day. So for some reason, kind of around, you know, nice anniversary type numbers, 25 years in the business, I've been to 20 NBA finals this year. That made it a little easier to step away from all that and move on to the next phase. You know, I realized, okay, there's not much more new that I can do in that area. So let's see what I can accomplish and see where we can get things going with Medill.
Yeah, I remember in January or February, I asked you where you spend most of your time, and I think you said you hadn't been in Chicago for longer than a week in a few months, right?
Yeah, pretty much every week I was off somewhere doing a game or heading back home to L.A. I had to take out my girlfriend and my dog who was back at the house in L.A. You know, that's another element, too, on the personal side that was challenging. Was trying to maintain a relationship with somebody 2 time zones away. The challenge of being in Chicago straight for a week all the way through, I'm not sure how many times that happened. It was rare. I remember one time I came home, and it was early afternoon, and I was in my apartment in Evanston, and the sun was streaming, and I realized, man, I don't think I've been here in an afternoon. I just sat on the couch and enjoyed the sunlight. You know, it's a westward-facing year, so you get a lot of afternoon sun. And it looked foreign to me. You know, I spent so little time there, especially in the day when I was in Chicago. I was just on the go constantly, you know, on campus in Evanston or at the facility on Wacker downtown Chicago or at the studio in the Hancock building. It was just constantly on the go. So, you know, I'm looking forward to just being in one place and a lot less hectic schedule.
So let's take a little step back here. You graduated from Medill in what year again?
1992.
You said that was the last year they used typewriters, right?
Well, no, 1989 was my freshman year, and we were the last. My freshman class was the last to use those typewriters. It's funny, I just got back from Italy, and I saw an Olivetti store, which was a brand of typewriter that I grew up on. My mom had an Olivetti typewriter, and they had a couple old typewriters in the window. And I said, yeah, that's kind of how I raised. That was my first quote-unquote keyboard that I learned how to type on. I banged out my early stories and any ideas that I had, research papers, things like that, I did in that typewriter. And then I got a computer, an Apple IIc, in 1985 or so, and that's what I had throughout high school. I got a Macintosh when I got to college at Northwestern. But for our basic writing class in the lab, we still had electric typewriters, and we were the last ones to use those. And then after that, everything was word processors, and then I think they moved forward into computer age with Macintosh. Probably by the time I graduated, the freshmen were using Macintosh, the old iMacs with the big bubbly iMacs. Mm-hmm. Even before that, the old classic Macintosh with the little 8-inch screen built in.
So obviously, a lot has changed since then. When you were at Medill as a student, was there a type of sports program, or how did it work back then? What was your experience like at Medill then?
There really was no type of sports program within anything that we did at Medill. The old teaching newspaper program, which was a forerunner of the JR program that's there now for undergrad journalism residency, you had to do Newsside. There weren't even sports options then. Now, I went to the San Bernardino Sun, and I was able to do a few sports assignments. I actually got to cover my first Lakers and Dodgers games while I was there, in addition to some minor league baseball. And that was kind of on the side. That wasn't really the main emphasis. But from that, they started letting people do full sports internships for the teaching newspapers. So that was a limited amount of sports work that you could do. But there were no classes. There were no programs. There was really no opportunity in the course setting. Now, of course, at the Yale Northwestern, I did all kinds of sports coverage, covered Big Ten football, basketball, baseball. And in my internships over the summer, I was able to do sports internships, but there was really nothing, nothing formal, no type of formal training that we got in how to cover sports. And, despite that, for decades, Medill was still able to churn out so many prominent figures in the sports industry, Brett Musburger, Wilbon and Christine Brennan and Mike Greenberg, of course, the names on and on and on. And it was Brad Hamm, the dean's idea that, hey, we've got all these prominent people in the field. We never have any way to prepare the next generation to be like them. We should sort of formalize our training, also try to draw on the resources that we have in our alumni and, really put together a premier sports package. And just recognizing the evolution over the years of the importance of sports. When I got to Northwestern, ESPN, for example, is far from what it is today. ESPN was still something. I think they just started showing the NFL, but coming up in the 80s, it was something that had billiards and boat races and Australian rules football. It wasn't the serious entity that it became later when it became, the highest revenue generating basic cable package that's out there. So the changes in the industry and the recognition that, this is a legitimate field, sports media is a legitimate field as worthy as any other area or element of journalism.
Now, I've heard from a lot of different people in the Medill sports program about their highlights of the year, what they've accomplished, what they've been up to throughout the quarters. So I'm curious, from your perspective, what are some memories or moments that stick out to you from your first year as the director of the sports journalism program here at Medill?
The event we had with Doug Collins was fun. That was my first, my first kind of evening. For me, what would have been the highlights have been the things that the students have responded to. And, that I think that got a good response, because the reason I wanted to do it is I learned so much from Doug Collins, and, he's taught me how to watch basketball. So I want our students to have the opportunity to get from him what to watch for, what he looks for, how he prepares for a game. And I think they found that very successful. The Medill Explorers programs, that Karen Ward and Candy Lee put together, the trip to Houston for the Super Bowl, the trip to New York to just see, and explore and meet with a lot of different media outlets in New York. I think the students were excited there. I was happy to hear that the ESPN visit was a highlight for some students, because it was unbelievably difficult to put together. I thought there'd be a snap. I thought, oh, okay, I'll look at ESPN. I'll just call a couple of people and we'll set up a tour. And it was unbelievably hard, because you could have a maximum of 12. They don't really do tours per se. They don't bring a group. They don't do college tours. But what we were able to do was utilize each employee is allowed to get two or maybe three guests per year to come on a tour. So I kind of rounded up, some other people to let me use their guests. And you have to sign up online through the ESPN security website, which it was only available like 30 days in advance. And you have to actually be on the system to use it. You can't access it remotely. You have to be on an ESPN site, hooked into the ESPN network to access this, to make the reservations, to put the names in. it took months and weeks to get this all accomplished. And I can't believe how stressful it was, but the fact we pulled it off, Candy did a great job of arranging the bus and setting up, lunch even when we got up to Bristol. And then some of my colleagues up there, such as Bruce Bernstein, a producer, they were helpful coming over and talking to students, and then they got to take the tour, which I didn't even get to go on. So I still have never taken an official ESPN tour because I didn't want to use my spot. I wanted it to go to a student, one of the 12 spots. But a lot of them were really excited, and I think they got to meet Stephen A. Smith. You never know who you're going to bump into. And Stephen A. was there, and I think some of the Patriots were there, Michael Smith and Jemele Hill. They'd either just started doing the 6 o'clock or they were in a preparation phase for the 6 o'clock. So the students got to see and meet them. So they were really excited. It was a long bus ride up and back from New York City. And it was a lot of stress for me preparing it. But, when things hit, when they like it, that's great. Taking the kids to the White Sox game. There's some apprehension. Baseball isn't the most beloved sport these days for young sports journalists, but I think for them to, be on the field, to be in the press box, and then I had them do kind of 1 minute video hits afterward. And it's pretty cool being on the field at a major league stadium. There's something special about that. And I think they all appreciated that afterward. So the things that you put a lot of time and effort into, same thing with my undergrad students, and I took those classes in two groups to a Bulls game. And you just never know what's going to happen. I bumped into James Harden. He asked what I was doing. I said, I got my class here. He went over and the students got to ask him a question. Just moments like that, that hopefully provide a high value experience, and the students seem to get a lot of big takeaway from it. When they're happy, I'm happy. A lot goes into those moments. Bringing Bob Ryan out, that was a lot of fun. But I was basically his chauffeur for a couple of days, driving to pick him up at the airport and driving around campus, make sure he was okay. But he was so generous. When I got the job, he sent me an email. What's this I hear about you running this journalism program at Northwestern? And they said, well, I'll come out. Pay for the ticket. I'll be there. So he was great, very generous with his time. And the athletic department was great. And gave us what wound up being courtside seats for Bob and a couple of students that I raffled off some seats to get the – watch the game with Bob Ryan, because I've had fun watching games with Bob over the years in the press box. We once got into a huge argument at the FIBA World Championships in Indianapolis 1 year, and we started arguing about the value of the points in the paint stat. And Bob said it become devalued. It's supposed to reflect post-up opportunities by a big man, and it come to, a fast break layup was considered a point of paint, and he thought it didn't have meaning anymore. And I thought, well, a point in the paint is a point of paint, no matter how or when you score it. And we got in this heated argument, and like these Russian sports writers are looking at us like, what's wrong with these two crazy Americans? But that's reflective of the passion that Bob has, and I was hopeful that the students would get to experience that watching the game with him. So just those moments that a lot goes into them, they feel kind of brief, but you just hope that they resonate with the students. I mean, you told me the Medill Explorers trip was great, right? You went to you were in New York, right?
Yeah, I was in New York. Yeah, so that ESPN tour, it was certainly worth all the stress, I think, because it felt like we were touring Willy Wonka's factory, honestly. Like, we were the chosen ones who got the golden ticket. You had to go through all the security. There were only a certain number of us. That was definitely one of the highlights of the past year, I would say.
And it's funny because, I used to dread having to go to Bristol all the way across country, and there's really not that much to do up there. But then you realize for a lot of people, that's the goal. That's why you did all the projects you did, and, you put all the sweat out at Medill this last year and everything that we put you through, to have that opportunity. So, hopefully being there made it feel more tangible. And I know that I was that way when I was a kid coming up. I did a program at UCLA where we, it was a summer. We spent a couple of days there. We stayed in the dorms. We took the test, and it's just a chance to give us a college experience. And it just made it feel more tangible. College always felt like a realistic destination for me. And, hopefully being on campus and, seeing the studios and seeing where it all happens, made it feel more realistic for you. And, maybe it's a place that you'll wind up.
Yeah, it definitely made it feel more tangible, like you mentioned. And who knew we were going to get a Bob Ryan impression? Man, come for the Jay Adande interview, stay for the Bob Ryan impression.
Well, I've had him in my ears so many times doing the show around the horn over the years. So, of course, we all like doing our bops. I think if you ask all the shows or cast members who's a favorite to do impressions of, Bob or Woody probably be a close second. But, you know, like we do Woody as like someone like an old Hoff type character. Like we do an exaggerated version of Woody. Like, you guys, let me straighten you out. We do him like a cowboy, much more so than the actual guy he is. But those are the two, probably the two best characters. And I know Woody, Michael Jordan once told me Woody is his favorite. So if you're a Woody guy, you're in good company.
So that was what happened this past school year. What plans do you have in store for this school year coming up?
I think even more interaction with alumni and people in the business. One thing that was kind of shocking to me with the quarter system is that there's so many fewer classes, you know, obviously in the fewer weeks in each period. So, you know, it really struck me like, man, we don't have a lot of time to bring a lot of people in. So we'll try to bring in some more people outside of class just for luncheon sessions. I've had so many people that have offered to you know, come by from Chicago, or people that are even in Chicago, in the area, that want to speak, and I didn't even have a chance to get to them this year. So more of that. You know, the Medill Explorers, our signature program, we've got two trips coming up, one for All-Star Weekend in L.A., and another one that Candy Lee's taking a group down to Orlando, and they're going to get to really experience the Golf Channel Studios and get to put professional quality, studio quality reels together, hopefully, by putting together a broadcast using the Golf Channel equipment. And we're going to get to Orlando Magic Game. We're trying to put that together. We needed the schedule gods to cooperate with us to have a home game there while we're in town. And we just got the schedule released a week or so ago, and it looks like hopefully we'll have the chance to do that. Still need to arrange that with the Magic. But so those are, you know, a couple of highlights that we're pushing. And it's just kind of more week in, week out. And I just look forward to being around more, to interacting with students, to hearing their stories, to being able to provide more feedback. Since I'll be around more, I'll be able to do that. So, you know, that's now that I've seen and experienced and seen what it's like and what goes into it, I feel like I'll be able to do a better job of fulfilling our students' expectations. So it's really not about my expectations, right? It's about the students' expectations.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm excited for the students that get to go to Orlando and L.A. I mean, that's better weather than we had in New York. So to conclude this podcast, anyone who knows you or is in your class or follows you on Twitter or has seen you on TV knows that you're a huge Game of Thrones fan. So we're going to play a little game here to end the podcast and the season on a high note. I'm going to give you a character from Game of Thrones, and it's only going to be a nice character, so we don't have to deal with any of the evil ones. And I want you to associate that character with a person that's in sports. Could be a journalist, a reporter, an athlete, basketball player, what have you. And then give us the reason why that character relates to that person. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, and we're only going to do the nice ones. We don't want to get you in trouble here. So I'm going to start off with an easy one, but we'll see where you take it. So the first sports journalist or athlete that comes to mind when I say the name Jon Snow. Go.
This is actually tougher than you made it sound. Because a lot of these require some thought. It'll be kind of noble, but... you know, doesn't always think things through. I mean, in some ways, LeBron is kind of that knight, right? You know, does his own thing. You know, he's gone to the thing about John's been a bunch of different places already. He's got around, he's probably traveled the most miles. You know, if you had one of those Apple Watches and, you know, you had the app, the fitness app, the Fitbit. You know, don't you think, John, because he started, he went up to the wall, he went north of the wall, he came back down, he went all the way down to, you know, he was down at when paid Daenerys a visit at Dragonstone. So LeBron's a guy who's been around, too. His arc, his journey has taken him from Cleveland to Miami and back. So in that regard, for the travel, for carving out his own unique path, I'll say LeBron James or Jon Snow.
Interesting. That's an interesting take. All right, here's the next one. I think I know your answer, but I'm going to say it, and I'll see what you say. All right, Arya Stark.
Yeah, see, we got to go Kobe Bryant, right?
I mean, Kobe was coming.
Kobe has, you know, given Arya his seal of approval. You know, the cold-bloodedness, you know, that when she committed fryicide, as I called it, when she took out the whole Fry family.
Uh-huh.
you know, that's something Kobe would do, and I think Kobe tweeted his approval of that. So, yeah, Arya is definitely Kobe, just the cold killer.
I knew that. I knew that was coming. I figured I'd throw you a little softball for the second one. All right, here's a little bit of a tougher one. Brienne of Tarth.
Brienne of Tarth. You know, I'll reach into the past. You know, since last Path Summit, you know, Path Summit was such a strong, impressive, you know, maybe not, you know, the strength of Brienne literally, but just her, the command that she had. She was as impressive a person as I've ever interviewed her. I got a chance to talk to her at the C-Play UCLA one year at Pauley Pavilion. And I just remember staying on the court and talking to Path Summit. And she's just impressive. You know, just like Brienne, like in a very chauvinistic world, people are forced to respect Brienne. And Pat Summit, I'd say, reminded me of her.
That's a good one. All right, here's a tough one. Who you got for Samwell Tarly? Sam, of course, you know, intelligent, a little shy, but he knows a thing or two about his way around a book.
Sam, who kind of carved out his own path, too. All right, for Sam Tarly, I'm going to Media World, and I'm going to go with someone who always reminded me of some more of a Lord of the Rings character, but Ben Hockman, the sports columnist at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, who doesn't have the physical girth of Sam Tarly, but is a genuine good guy. So about heating, actually, he had a thing where he went around the NBA when he covered the Denver Nuggets, and he sampled all the hamburgers in the different NBA cities and did a write-up of that. But he never quite put on the pounds like Sam Tarly. He was able to avoid that. But just a guy who beat you with his mind, you know, like Sam. I mean, Sam took out a White Walker, right? you know, Ben isn't the most physically imposing person, but his mental skills have gotten him very far in this sports writing world.
All right, and the final one, the guy that everyone seems to look up to in Game of Thrones, Ned Stark.
Somebody just fallen. So how about Phil Jackson? Because Phil was a, you know, Phil was highly respected and took a fall with his tenure with the Knicks. You know, it's funny. We got in an argument on Twitter, of course, with all these people saying, you know, because remember after Phil Jackson was let go by the Knicks and a few days later he tweeted a picture of his feet relaxing at his cabin in Montana and he's looking out over the lake and I don't even think he had a caption. I think it was just like he just posted that picture and that said it all. I said, you know, I tweeted out, you know what, Phil? Phil's just going to take his 11 rings and, you know, I think he's still got like $20 million coming to him on his next contract and head Montana and declare victory, as he should. Most people are saying, what, you know, this is, you know, what a disgrace, a terrible fall. People get so caught up in the moment that, you know, they act like everything else he did in his career, going back to his playing days in the 60s and early 70s, doesn't count. And he'll just be remembered from, no, that's short-sighted. He's going to be, you know, the worst that will ever be said of him from now on is he's an 11-time coaching champion, you know, plus he won championships as a player. You know, he's one of the dominant figures in the history of the game. You can't talk about, you know, the history of this league without Phil Jackson and his impact on it. So, you know, Phil is still going to loom large, even though it didn't end well for him. And Ed Stark still looms large. You see people comparing Jon Snow to him and, you know, his daughters, he lives on through them as well. So Ed, even though he didn't make it all the way out through the first season, he still looms over over the show and the standards that he set. And Phil Jackson, even though it didn't end well for him in New York, I think he still looms over the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great comparison because, you know, you can't talk about the history of Game of Thrones without talking about Ned Stark.
No, absolutely not. And it's funny, both within the show, the, you know, the mythology of the show, but also as you look at the show, you know, that the death of Ed Stark really changed the game, so to speak, for Game of Thrones. You know, and it just puts you on notice that, okay, anything can happen in this world. And it's a cruel, harsh world that doesn't have a room for you know, sentimentality. So, you know, when we lost Ed Stark, that just put everyone on notice for what this show was about. So it changed things within the show, but it also changed the way we watched the show.
All right. And thank you, Jay Adani. That's a great way to finish. Thank you for coming on my last episode of the Medill Sports Podcast. It's been great having you, and thank you really for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for starting these up, and they've been entertaining for me, and hopefully people have listened and gotten a little idea about our students and what they're like and also what the program is like. So I really appreciate the initiative you showed in starting up this podcast.
And so you heard it here from Jay Adande, what he has in store for the coming year. You heard the Jay Adande Bob Ryan impression. That was a great moment. And who he thinks Game of Thrones characters relate to in real life. So thanks again for coming on. And thank you for listening. I'm Elon Kane, and this has been the Medill Sports Podcast.